Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is 5 o'clock, and that means it is time for your 5 at 5, which is brought to you by Wave Soda, super simple, bubbly water, a splash of real juice, and a little caffeine. Unsweetened, no stevia or artificial sweeteners, just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. Order now at wavesoda.com and receive 15% off by entering Grant or Danny as your promo codes. Either one of our names, Grant or Danny. Danny, you've got some Wave Soda on the way to the house right now, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I told you, major move for the Ruyes. Grapefruit has overtaken mango, who is a longtime number one. I love both of them. I'm not disparaging mango. Just the grapefruit is so right. It's the perfect amount of sweetness, just a little bit tart. It's so delicious and refreshing, plus that little jolt of caffeine. So give me grapefruit one, mango two, tangerine three, and blackberry, a very delicious and worthy number four.
Story number one in your 5 at 5 today, after the Junkies originally broke the news that they had a document from Beth Wilkinson's report that apparently the NFL says has yet to be turned into them, that they say suggests that Beth Wilkinson's providing options and suggestions like either having Dan Snyder no longer own the Washington football team or suspending him. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch was on B. Mitch and Finley in middays here on The Fan to discuss that. And he said, if in fact that's true, Roger Goodell could have a difficult time not listening to Beth Wilkinson's suggestions.
I think if the recommendation on the report is that Dan Snyder needs to sell the team, I think it ends with him selling the team. And, you know, you look at just Dan Snyder had a home court advantage here on this report. He hired Beth Wilkinson. The NFL has supervised the report. Roger Goodell presumably has had some sort of role. You know, obviously they've said this will be independent outside of him, but Roger Goodell has almost assuredly been briefed along the way on what's going on here. If they had all of those advantages, all of those, you know, hiring the attorney, Dan Snyder is well attorneyed, you know, multiple interviews, things like that, and this is still the conclusion, you know, that's going to be tough for Roger Goodell to avoid.
I don't know about that. I respect the hell out of Michael Phillips. I just don't think that the NFL, which really is a collection of 32 owners, wants that kind of precedent. You basically have to be caught on tape being racist at this point. It doesn't matter what else you do. It doesn't really rise to this level for the most part for these guys. So I think the recommendations will be taken very seriously. There's another off-ramp for them. That is the suspension. I really think they've already begun that track. I don't think you would have seen Roger Goodell purposefully, to me, mention Dan and Tanya a couple different times and applaud their culture change that they're already doing. I think basically what happened behind the scenes, this is me speculating, was they were already kind of put on probation unofficially, right, from the league and the office, saying you better act right. That means you better start hiring some people that make us proud. You better start changing that culture. Don't let us hear peep from you for a while. And they did that. We got some good feelings now coming out of Washington for the first time in some time. I think as long as they don't violate that probation, this will all be the conditions will be met, and we'll all kind of go back to business as usual before too long, unfortunately.
It's interesting to hear Phillips say if Wilkinson suggests that they remove Dan Snyder, that it will be hard for Goodell not to do that. Now, obviously, Goodell himself doesn't have that power, but the other owners, if enough of them vote to do so, would have that influence and that power. I disagree with that, and I'll say that Phillips has monitored and followed this closely than I have and probably knows more about the situation than I do. But just on the outside looking in, I think her suggestion, while it could mean something and it will be significant and powerful, isn't going to move the needle necessarily. I mean, there's going to have to be enough owners who decide they want to band together to get rid of Dan Snyder. And that turns the eyes and some of the investigating that's done and some of the public attention on them. And look at Dan Snyder and look at the fight he's having with minority owners right now, who he's mad at, who he feels like wronged him, and the litigation that's come and the court filings that have come to the forefront. This is not a person that's going to go down without a fight. This is not a guy who is going to go down quietly. There will be lawyers. So if you're another NFL owner, do you want to welcome all of that? It's they should do the right thing, but I don't know that we live in a world where that always happens necessarily. So I'm still skeptical and dubious that this ends with anything other than maybe a slap on the wrist for Dan Snyder, but that was really interesting to hear Michael Phillips say that today on B. Yeah. Mitch and Finley. One story that has gotten mostly buried, and it would have been the biggest story of the offseason to this point today, is that it is now official. We knew this was coming, but the Washington football team did in fact release Alex Smith, and that is story number two on our 5 at 5 today. Ian Rappaport saying that it was a mutually agreed upon release. We know that because Ron Rivera in his statement said as much. He also said Alex Smith effectively asked to be released. Where will Smith go now? That's the big question.
This is something we have known this is coming for the Washington football team and for Alex Smith. A true, actual, real, mutual parting of the ways. Washington looking to move on at the quarterback position. They've already made calls, tried to do that. They've been involved in some of the trade talks this offseason. Haven't settled on their guy yet, but certainly have been paving the way for that. And then I know Alex Smith wanted to be released sooner rather than later if it was going to happen, just to get a little bit of a jump on free agency. We've seen some guys, J.J. Watt in particular, take advantage of that. So this is now official. And so he moves on. Then, as you mentioned, where's he going to go? Give you two interesting places potentially to watch. One is the Chicago Bears, who have Matt Nagy, who coached Alex Smith with the Kansas City Chiefs when both were there and do have a need at the quarterback position. That would be one potential team to watch. Here's another one. The Jacksonville Jaguars. We know, presumably, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence number one. Still could maybe need a veteran backup to come in and help school Trevor Lawrence in the ways of the NFL. They happen to have Alex Smith's former coach, Urban Meyer, there. We'll keep an eye on that as well.
Ian Rappaport there via NFL Network. So, ultimately, to me, GP, I don't see him as somebody's long-term starter. By long-term, I mean a season, right? This is I don't mean over the course of a decade, the way I mean it here in Washington. I mean, someone would bring him in to keep the seat warm, to be the bridge till the kid takes over. If he's got to go somewhere and start, it means that team probably struck out a couple times. So to me, the best fit is Jacksonville, honestly, where there's no pressure. It's basically about Trevor Lawrence, and you're going to be there to be a glorified assistant coach or position coach.
Yeah, that's how this is going to go down. He's going to be there. He will be a position coach. He will be a backup. I say Jacksonville. Now, everyone could say Chicago as well because of Matt Nagy. The Jags make perfect sense. Urban Meyer loves this guy. I think Smith really likes Urban Meyer. But Danny, who better to help Trevor Lawrence? You don't think Alex Smith would be the perfect QB coach, as you just said, or mentor, or the person to help groom him? What hasn't he seen? What can't he answer, educate him on? He'll be better than any quarterback coach you could hire to help Trevor Lawrence. I'm picking the Jacksonville Jaguars as the next home for Alex Smith. I guess if you go to the Bears, he'd have a better chance to play, though, right? I mean, they don't even have a quarterback right now. Like, him and Nick Foles aren't that different. They're both somewhere between 25th and 35th in the NFL, maybe, something like that. So might make more sense to go to Chicago, but I think the better fit for him, if he knows that he's about to wear a visor for a couple years, is Jacksonville. Let's go to story number three, our final NFL story in our 5 at 5. We've been talking a lot about Deshaun Watson. We're trying to only go back to the well on Watson when something warrants it, when there's something new, and I think we have that here. This is via an NFL Huddle and Flow podcast with Steve Wyche and Jim Trotter. They had Jalen Ramsey on the corner from the Rams. He shares an agent with Deshaun Watson. They are very close. They've got a tight relationship. And he says Watson is not only really, really serious about wanting out, but he actually suggests, as you listen to this, that he will hold out, that he will not play for them. Listen to what Jalen Ramsey said.
Extremely serious. He's extremely serious. He, at the end of the day, Deshaun is a great man. Let me say that first and foremost. He's a great man. He's even now
a servant
with
leader.
People, I'm telling you, like a servant leader. Even now with people trying to crucify him and talk bad on his name, he's still out there doing things for the community in Houston. So he's a great man. He's a professional. He's going to do things that are still positive around the community and, you know, probably help his teammates out because they're still his teammates now. Probably still be helping him out, doing things here and there. But I highly doubt he'll ever, you know, suit up in a.
I buy that. I do. I buy it. I think he is.
You think he'll
in.
Sit out?
Yeah, I do. And maybe this is just me believing the offseason thing because it's easy to say now here in March, a little bit less so if it gets to the point of September where, you know, you've got the immovable object, the unstoppable force, et cetera. But I do. I believe he's so fed up. Whether you want to judge him right or wrong, that's everybody's call. You can read the information that's available. But I do. I think he's dug in enough, GP. And maybe I'm just buying into the offseason hype and rhetoric, but that's how I feel.
Well, he's putting that image out there. He's certainly right. Pretending's not what I'm looking for. He's putting up a front as if he's not going to play and that he's got the leverage. The problem is for him, he really doesn't. He's under contract for years with the Houston Texans. Now, he could force them to cave in a game of chicken if he keeps sprinting toward them at full speed. Because they could say, well, we can't not have a quarterback. We can't have him just sitting out there as a distraction. But if he's not in the facility, then the rest of everyone else that is there under David Culley, their new head coach, could move forward. I mean, the fines, remember, make it really hard to sit out now. It's like $40,000 a day or whatever it used to be where you might not have to pay on the back end. The new CBA makes it harder to do that. He's got money. Is it worth it to you? And again, it's not like you accrue a season and you get to the next offseason and you're free. You just signed a massive extension. So at some point, the Texans have to allow you to leave. You could try to force their hand. I don't know. I don't see it. I think he plays begrudgingly. The better way to get out of there might actually be for him to show up and be a malcontent. I hate to say that, but you get
mean?
What I'm saying.
What would that look like?
Well, as a quarterback, you show up, you say you don't want to be there, you say you're not happy to be on the team, you practice hard, you play hard, you don't tank it, but you're just a pain in the butt. You're tweeting things that are anti-team like Stephon Diggs did when he got traded. You just be a James Harden, essentially. But to me, that's the best way for him to get out of there would actually be because then you're affecting
imagine?
The team. Yeah. Rather than sitting on the outside and they're all moving forward and you're just collecting fine after fine after fine, you're there. What are they going to do? Send you away for right. conduct detrimental because you're sending some vague tweets or you're having press conferences that aren't team friendly? I don't know if that reaches that threshold.
So the team really needs to figure it out. Like they're sitting at the poker table right now going, is he bluffing? Is this real? Because imagine if they let it get to that point where he's hardening his way, another Houston athlete. If he's doing a James Harden bit, if you let it get to that point, that's on you. You could have gotten a great haul in the offseason, and now they look foolish.
I think that's the best way. I mean, Trent Williams sat out basically for a season, didn't get dealt. Quentin Dunbar took to Twitter and a couple of times said some things, and next thing you know, he was traded immediately. Like, I just think being a pain in the butt, as we've seen from some NBA players at times, might be the better way to get out. Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville, that the script has been written. Let's go to number four in our 5 at 5. Let's pivot to hoops. Bradley Beal and the Wizards get an 8th win in 11 games going into the break. He now gets ready for Sunday night's All-Star game as the Wiz kept their momentum going into the second half last night against the Clippers.
It was just a great opportunity for us to come out and build on what we've been doing the last 10, 11 games, you know. We didn't close out, you know, the last 45 seconds of that Boston game, you know, tonight. You know, Coach said he was upset he didn't call a timeout, so we called a timeout tonight, got ourselves together, played the free throw game at the end, and we stepped up and knocked them down when it counted.
They needed that one because they were trying to give that one away last night too, right? After a foul on a three-pointer with the clock stopped, and all of a sudden the Clippers kept, you know, chipping closer. Westbrook missed a free throw or two down the stretch, but it was a great, excellent, winning, awesome, outstanding basketball play by Russell Westbrook that sent them into the All-Star break with a W. That from the perimeter, hustle in, tapping the rebound. He had a couple of rebound taps, by the way, where he couldn't grab it himself, so he tapped it to a teammate. Just really savvy stuff, man. Just winning plays by him, and they got a well-deserved W last night.
I like watching them right now. I like how they compete. I want to see more of a couple of the young guys, though. And if it means that you win two or three fewer games, I don't care. I want to see more Denny Avdia. I'd like to see more Troy Brown Jr. And I would like to get to a point in the second half of this season where they're building for beyond just trying to get into the postseason this year. I think they will be a pain in the butt. A tough out in the sense that they'll get knocked out early if they make the playoffs, but they're going to make someone work for it. I don't know that a lot of teams want to play them right now, the way that they're scrapping and clawing and they're playing better defense and they can score the ball. But it shouldn't really just be about 21 for them. And I say that mostly because of how they started. Let's go to number five and wrap up our 5-5 with the Capitals. Four straight wins, points in 7 of 8. They try for 5 in a row tonight. Ben Raby was on our show earlier today. And Ben, who's going to host pre and post right here on the Fan ahead of the game tonight at 7 o'clock with the Bruins, says they have turned things around, and these four wins in a row are based on their effort on defense.
Clamping down defensively the other night against Boston was a perfect example of that. Took the Bruins north of 15 minutes in the first period before they even managed their first shot on goal. But you look, Grant, at the four-game winning streak. Common theme, Capitals have held the opposition to 2 goals or fewer in all 4 games, and usually that's a good recipe for success when you have the firepower the Capitals have. And the other night against Boston, that firepower contained to an extent from a Capitals perspective, but again, a stingy defensive effort gave themselves the opportunity to eventually prevail in a shootout. Vitek Vanacek and the defense as a whole, very, very impressive over the last, really over the last few weeks. The sample size is growing now.
100% right about that defensively for the MGP. That was just so pivotal, so outstanding, and awesome. I was really encouraged winning that style of a game against a really good Boston club. On the other side, though, the thing that hasn't happened yet are a couple of the Russians. Dmitry Orlov and Evgeny Kuznetsov have really not gotten going yet. And I know some people have said, hey, that whole COVID episode where they sat out and had to deal with it and all that stuff, that's all true. But now, get going. You got to start scoring some points, putting those things on the board. Orlov, too skilled a player, too defensive-friendly a system from Laviolette that allows defenders to jump up in the play. And Kuznetsov's too skilled to only have 6 points here through you know, however many team games they have played, right around 20 at this year, 22, I believe, at this stage. So they need both of those guys if they're going to get to where they want to go.
Standings in the East stacked division right now. The Capitals have 30 points tied with the Islanders, who have a game in hand on the Isles. They have played 2 more games than the Flyers, who are 3 points behind them. Chance to give themselves a 5-point cushion over the Bruins would be a massive 2-point win tonight if they can do it in regulation. You can hear the game right here on the Fan. Next on Grant and Danny, we are thrilled to welcome Dan Hudson, who got the final out in the 2019 World Series for the Nats, onto the show from spring training. You're listening to the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As the Nationals are a strike away from franchise history and some World Series history, as Hudson tries to close it out, it'll be another 3-2 pitch to Michael Brantley. Hudson sets the kick, and here it comes. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
Well, that highlight just never gets old, does it? Charlie Slows, as heard right here on 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for Nationals baseball. And as you heard, Daniel Hudson was on the mound, the former Old Dominion University product who came to Washington at the trade deadline in that 2019 season, got the final out of the World Series. He is back for more with the Nats as they get ready for the 2021 campaign, and he joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Huddy, how about you hearing that highlight? I can't imagine it's something you watch on YouTube once a week or so, but I'll bet it never gets old, huh?
You'd be wrong. I watch it that often.
Hey, kids, here comes a slider to Brantley. Watch.
So you just every now and then, you know, you're checking your bank account or you're buying something for the wife, and you go, you know, it's been a couple of days. YouTube.com, Hudson Final Out.
Amazing.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, dude, that's so perfect. What the hell was last year? We talked to Yan Gomes the other day, and he was like, last year was just kind of a year to get it in. It was like a round of batting practice, like a workout. How are you viewing whatever the hell last year was for you and for the squad?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting. I mean, that's a pretty good comparison, man. It was, you know, just getting all ramped up for the season and during regular spring training, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know what, guys, we're shut down for 2 weeks, and then, you know, a week later, it's like, hey, it's going to be Memorial Day. And then it's like, well, maybe, no, now it's not going to be till middle of July. So, you know, it was just so much up in the air. And, you know, all of a sudden it was like, okay, hey, get ready to be in D.C. in a couple weeks. You know, it was just crazy, man. And with so much going on in the world, like Jan said, I mean, we were just trying to get it in and try to have some sense of normalcy, even though, you know, we were playing without fans and the routines were all screwed up and going through, you know, intake testing and all this stuff. It was just wild, crazy experience.
I don't think you were necessarily one of the guys that was extremely affected by this, so maybe not the perfect guy to ask, but you'd certainly have some insight on it. It seemed to me like a lot of pitchers, and specifically a lot of relievers around baseball, their velocity was down last year, and there were all kinds of theories. Is it fewer people in the stands and maybe – you know, you don't feel like you had that Red Bull or not as amped up. Was it the spring training shutdown and then building the arm back up? Did you notice that, first of all? I don't know if you had to combat anything like that personally, but why do you think the velocity in general around the sport, most of the guys for most of the year were down about a mile per hour and some of them more?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, we're all doing our normal off-season program and we're getting ready for spring training. And most guys, you know where they're at during spring training and where they're usually at and typically at velocity wise. And for the most part, I feel like, I mean, at least in my case, I was where I wanted to be. And then all of a sudden we're shut down and there's no end in sight about, you know, hey, we need you to be ready by this X date, you know, and like everybody works backwards. At least that I know of works backwards from spring training report day. Okay, I need to get this many bullpens in by February 14th. So I'm going to map them out, you know, a few weeks before, and then I'm going to map out how I get my throwing program in before that. Everybody just works backwards without a date. It's like, hey, just keep your arm in shape, I guess. I don't know what to tell you, you know. So, and then you factor in that, you know, with everything shut down during quarantine, nobody has anybody to play catch with. Like, I know I was thrown into a net for the most part of those 3 months. I know, like, you know, Sean Doolittle was doing the same. And first time Sean played catch with an actual human being was spring training 2.0 in D.C. So, I mean, you just think about guys having situations like that, and it's no wonder, you know, their stuff might have been down.
Talking to YouTube star Daniel Hudson on here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, getting ready for the Major League Baseball season. Honey, what do you want to do this year? Do you want to close? Do you want to set up? Do you care? What's your role going to be? What have you guys talked about?
I really don't care, man. I just want to go get outs. to be honest with you. I don't care if it's the fifth inning or the ninth inning or anywhere in between. I really don't care. I know it's been well documented that I'm not the most comfortable guy pitching the ninth inning, but yeah, as I got more experience with it last year, you know, I kind of got a taste for it, and I really did like it towards the end. But at the same time, like, I'm ready to do whatever Davey needs me to do. If I need to go in the sixth inning and cover somebody and, you know, get three outs or two outs and then go back out and get another out or two, I'm fine with that, and let the guys, you know, at the back end do their thing as well. So I feel like everybody's kind of in that same boat, man. We're just going to go get three or four outs whenever Davey needs us, and hopefully we get a W at the end of the night.
Huddy, I'm not familiar with this well-documented you're not comfortable in the ninth anything. What does that mean?
I mean, everybody just was asking me like about the ninth inning, and for a long time I just wasn't comfortable. I mean, if you look at my numbers, I don't have the best numbers in the ninth inning. My numbers in the seventh and eighth are way better than they are in the ninth inning, for whatever reason that is. I don't know, but I mean, I can pinpoint maybe the fact that I don't have, you know, that big one pitch that I'm going to go to in any situation. I know I'm probably going to get a swing and miss 60% of the time. You know, I just don't have that one pitch, so. I do get a lot of contact, so there's going to be stretches where I'm not getting guys to hit the ball at people. You know, I'm not getting outs like I am, and you know, it can be kind of fluky, my success. So I like to, you know, I've always kind of been better coming in jams and trying to get guys out of jams that way.
Well, GP, I remember when they came back from game two in Los Angeles, Huddy told us, I believe, Dan, I think I have this right, I, quote, had bubble guts, too, in the ninth inning against the Dodgers when you were a full count for like a million pitches against, not Bellinger, the shortstop. I'm blanking on
him. Seager.
Seager. Right? They had the big punch against Seager. So as you think back to 2019 and how amazing that was and how kind of dumb 2020 was, how much do you sort of call upon 2019, or is it just all kind of gone for you and this kind of group as you sort of get together and reassemble?
2019 definitely is not gone. That's something I'm gonna hold in the back of my head for the rest of my life. And you know, even if you know I don't pitch much longer past this year, I'm still gonna remember that forever. And yeah, 2020, I'm taking everything. I'm really only focusing on the positives. I'm not looking at the negatives from 2020. Yeah, the ERA was bad, and we didn't do well. We didn't win a lot of games, but there was so much craziness with 2020 that you just kind of look at those numbers and take it with a grain of salt. And you know, I'm literally looking at all the positives from last year, and that's all I'm looking at. And I'm going to try to move forward with those and build off those for 2021.
What have you seen from Brad Hand, one of the best lefty relievers in the game, comes in to replace the departed Sean Doolittle?
I mean, he's great, man. I've had a great time getting to know him, and you know, playing a couple rounds of golf with him. He's a really good guy, and played catch with him a few times. He hides the ball really well. It's tough to pick up, and you know, he kind of slings it from that three-quarter arm slot, and he gets a ton of spin on his breaking ball, man. I can definitely see how, you know, it's virtually impossible to hit that pitch as a left-hander. So it's going to be fun to watch, man. I think he's making his spring debut tonight, and I'm definitely going to be paying attention to that.
Is he a good golfer?
Yeah, he's a very good golfer. I've been very impressed with his, especially his short game, man. He's got a really good short game.
Who are the best and worst golfers on the Nats?
I mean, right now I'm probably one of the worst. I'm not playing my best golf right now. It's not pretty, but you know, it's hit and miss for everybody. You know, there's a reason we don't play golf professionally, and we throw baseballs. So it's hit and miss for everybody.
Who have you learned the most from in the bullpen? I remember years ago Tyler Clippard was here, and like for a couple of years, everyone threw a great changeup. You know, he had that Bugs Bunny changeup or whatever, right? Who are some of the guys that you've kind of rub off on you via osmosis?
I think you kind of pick everybody's brain, man. Especially when I was younger, coming through the minor leagues and making my debut. I actually made my debut out of the bullpen. So just watching the way, you know, guys like Matt Thornton worked. He played in D.C. for a little while when I was in Chicago. You know, he was a veteran lefty in the bullpen. Just watching the way he worked. J.J. Putz when I was with Arizona and Washington Chicago at the same time. You know, just watching what those guys do and how they prepare and how they go about attacking hitters late in the ball game, and you kind of pick and choose and take little things from everybody. Just be a sponge and take stuff from everybody and watch how they work out in between outings and do all that stuff, and can't go wrong doing that.
Dan Hudson on Grant and Danny. A couple of minutes left with one of the important Nats relievers going into this 2021 season. Do you guys think, and I asked Yan Gomes this, he had an interesting answer. Do you feel like this is the real deal now? We're playing 162. Some of the experimental rules like you guys have in a DH in the National League are now gone again. Is this still, because you may not have full fans in the stands, like a weird abnormal season, or is this is baseball, this is the real thing?
Well, from what everybody said, I haven't pitched in a game yet, so from what everybody said, even the 1,500 fans down here is a significant boost in adrenaline that was not there at all last year. So I'll be pumped up. I'm gonna make my spring debut tomorrow. I'm pumped up to get out there in front of fans. And it's just 2021 so far. I think guys are just so pumped to get back to normalcy, especially with our routines and whatnot. Yeah, we're still doing COVID testing every other day, but you know, the fact that we have a full schedule slated right now, we're gonna do normal travel. We're going west, all the way west for, you know, 10 days at a time. It's going to be, I know guys are really looking forward to that. And, knock on wood, nothing happens in the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks that, you know, delays that or happens with that. So we're really looking forward to it, man.
Dan, this organization has been so good for a while. And then Coleman, it's obviously when you arrived at the World Series 2019, and, you know, the success is right up there with the Dodgers and some of the best organizations in the sport. It's been really, really good. Well, now all of a sudden, you guys are the hunters a little bit. The Braves are really good. The Mets look really, really good. And, you know, all the people that, like to predict things have you guys maybe as the third best team in the division. Give me your thoughts there and about maybe being the hunter this go around.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a tough division, and there's no other way to look at it, man. Everybody in the division got better this offseason, you know, through free agency, trades, what have you. Everybody has got better, and it was a tough division to begin with. It was a tough division last year. I know I had my struggles with the Braves definitely last year. It's definitely going to be fun to get into it with those guys, man. I like you said, not many people are picking us to win the division, but I feel like it's kind of a coin flip at this point. Whatever team gets hot and kind of separates themselves in May and June, that's going to be who's at the top at the end, man. I feel like it's anybody's division, but I definitely feel like we have a really good shot to take it.
Dan, we are looking forward to seeing you pitch for the first time this spring tomorrow. Best of luck getting going the right way, and can't wait to see you at the ballpark.
I appreciate it, guys. Good talking to you.
Thanks, buddy.
Be
you
well.
Too, pal.
World Series hero Dan Hudson on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I loved him saying he looks up that clip
time
on YouTube. He's like, actually, you'd be wrong. Every couple of days, I'm firing up that video. Why shouldn't he, Danny? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, in line at the grocery store. Let me just go to my favorites. Waiting for my food. Let me just do that. Waiting for the rental car. Whatever it is, I'm doing that all the time. I got the last out of the World Series. Me, Dan Hudson, Old Dominion Monarch. Please and thank you.
What punishment would actually matter to an owner? What would they feel? A fine? A suspension? What do you have to do to make an owner with the type of money that Dan Snyder has feel a punishment? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. The mains at Yardbird, Danny. Lou Ellen's fine fried chicken. Half of our famous bird served with honey hot sauce.
So
available gluten-free, just in case Danny Rue wants it that way.
I don't think so.
Chicken and watermelon and waffles, you know, because yep, you like chicken one. And you might like watermelon and you might also like waffles. That's, by the way, their signature. Everybody loves it dish.
That's honey. What I got in Vegas, buddy.
How'd you like it?
Delicious Town, USA. It was outstanding.
Honey hot sauce, chilled spice watermelon, Vermont sharp cheddar cheese waffle, bourbon maple syrup. I don't know if that sounds any good to anyone. Yardbird coming to D.C. on April 1st. Maybe we'll just do a segment every day where we go over another item on the menu in detail.
I mean, that place was so great, man. It was so good.
I want to do the show live from there. I'm asking CK if we can build a studio in the kitchen. Because if we got to go back in studio, we might as well not go back to the studio. We might as well go to the kitchen at Yardbird.
To the Yardbird Studios. We're just eating fried green tomatoes and fried chicken.
Let's go. Why not? Earlier today on The Fan, the Sports Junkies came out with a report that has made national headlines. They got access to and have a document that they say is Beth Wilkinson's report. This is the independent, you know, third-party investigation. Snyder originally hired her. Goodell swooped in and said, no, you're going to answer to me on this. One of the great attorneys in the country. This was the Junkies. They talked about it on their show today. So this is basically how this came out, for those of you that haven't heard it, and what they had to say about it. We'll get to that.
It appears that Wilkinson and her team or whatever come up with two recommendations. They may have more. We've only seen part of this.
Right.
Okay? But the first recommendation is...
Right, the top choice.
First, the first recommendation to Goodell is, based on her investigation, force the owner to divest his ownership of the team. That's
correct.
Her number one recommendation, it appears. The second, though, recommendation is, and this is direct verbatim from the report, suspend the owner for a significant period to allow the club time to repair its infrastructure and culture. And by the way, that appears to be what they've been trying to do for the last several months, right?
Yes.
They've changed their infrastructure. They brought Julian. They brought Jason Wright in. Right.
Wholesale changes in the front
and by
office.
By the way, this
wholesale changes.
This particular recommendation gives the NFL and Goodell flexibility to avoid a complete poop show of a mess of trying to force him to sell.
To me, it gives him an out. To
yes.
me, it gives Roger a huge
and
out.
And he could suspend Snyder for, you know, 6 months, a year. It's happened before.
It gives him an out, but it also gives him an opportunity to get rid of an owner that if all the other owners are in agreement that, look, this guy's
right.
bad for the league. We'd love him. We'd love nothing more than to see him divest his ownership of the Washington football team. It gives him a trapdoor to set Daniel Snyder on top of and then pull the trapdoor out from underneath it.
That so was the Junkies earlier today, as heard right here on The Fan.
Apologies, you've been to jump in there. So a number of things to pull out of there. I think Bickle made the most salient point here, and that is the off-ramp. You could see it. You could already see where this is going. And I'm reading between the lines here. Again, you saw Roger Goodell in a public statement when he was asked about this, spoke glowingly of Dan and Tanya. Dan and Tanya. It's always been Dan Snyder before. Now it's Dan and Tanya. They're trying to soften the image here. You've got these glowing reviews of these hires, everyone from Ron Rivera to Jason Wright to Julie Donaldson to their female assistant coach. Everybody's given them good press for some of the forward thinking that they've done, right? They've turned over a new leaf for the 1,000th time, but I don't fault any of the new people. All they've done is what they're supposed to do here for less than a year that they've been on the job. So that's good. You're seeing the stage set, in my opinion, for this to be a slap on the wrist, a fine, a suspension, et cetera, and kind of the off-ramp, sweep it under the rug and say, look at time already served. Look at how well they've done. They've adapted the recommendations. They've changed the culture, everybody. The culture. The culture's here. And we'll applaud and pretend that everything is fine. I think that's the key. I think that's the out for Goodell and the other owners so that they can put on a big show like they've done something serious, when in reality we'll all kind of know that it won't be serious enough.
Yeah, I believe that Dan Snyder is going to get in trouble. I don't think this is just going to be a situation where the league comes back and says, yeah, what we found was troubling, but we're going to talk with them and they're going to continue some of the changes they've already made and they're on the right path. I think he probably will be fined substantially, and I think it'll be an amount of money that sounds like a lot of money, but to Dan Snyder is going to be something that doesn't ruin more than his week or his month. And right. I think that they will suspend him. I just don't think it's going to be a sizable suspension. Like, to me, a suspension that would really matter is if he's not allowed to be around the team for a year, if it's a full football season, let's say. Having said that, when you suspend an owner, a lot of the time, unless you prohibit this from being the case, like, someone within the family could just take over, whether that's Tanya or someone close to him. I mean, he's at odds with the minority owners, so I don't know if one of those guys gets to take over.
It's not Dwight Schrute's turn anytime soon.
But wouldn't that be incredible if these guys that he's in court with, that's just the president isn't available, so the rule is the vice president takes over. Like, one of them starts running Dan Snyder's team in the meantime. That would be must-see TV. I do think, though, that's what happens. I think it's a fine. I think it's a minimal suspension, and he's back, and he's running the club moving forward. That's what I've always thought was going to happen. But this is a huge story here that the junkies have. If this document that, you know, they have received that supposedly is from Wilkinson's report, and the league is saying they haven't been sent that report, they haven't seen what the junkies have said that they have. So it's all pretty new, fresh, and amazing. But here's what we could take calls on to end the show next. What kind of a punishment would an owner feel? Snyder or any of these billionaires? Is a suspension enough? How long would it have to be? Is a fine ever going to be big enough to be the only thing that you do? Is it fair to penalize the team? The owner would feel it if they lose draft picks or if they lose cap space. But why punish Ron Rivera and Terry McLaurin for something they didn't do? Let's get into that next. What is a punishment that an owner would feel and notice? We're Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. We're presented by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today and visit BetQL.com. This segment, come for the Dan Snyder conversation. Stay for what we learn. We'll do that at the very end of these 20 or so minutes. We're taking you up to Caps hockey tonight at 6:45. AAA Always On Call listener lines, yours, 800-636-1067. Question we have posed to you, what would be a punishment for Dan Snyder that he would feel? And honestly, I think this is more of a philosophical thing, really, Danny, when it comes to owners in positions of power with lots of money.
It's more about owners than it is Snyder specifically.
Right. It could be when it was Jerry Richardson who had to sell his team, or Donald Sterling who lost his team, or any of the owners like Jim Irsay over the years who got in trouble. Just to find them, you know, Robert Kraft style when he got in trouble, they're not going to feel that. If you dock them something that matters, whether that's picks or cap space or something like that, you're actually punishing the football people. Why punish Ron Rivera? What did he do wrong? Why punish Jack Del Rio and Scott Turner and Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson and Chase Young? Those guys were not part of this issue. This is not their cross to bear. And that's why I'm adamantly against anything that involves the football team and cap space and picks. I've heard J.P. Finley a few times on the station and in his some of his writing say that this could involve draft picks. I guess that's possible. It would shock me. The precedent is certainly not that at this point for these owners and some of the trouble that they've gotten in. But I also just think that while this is a massive organizational issue, Danny, and it's a cultural significant problem, it's not just exclusively a Dan Snyder issue. He is the boss. He runs the show. He's got to pay the price. I would get why you'd be okay maybe if you're the league saying, well, the football team has to pay for this, not just Dan. To me, to punish the new group of organizational leaders and the coaching staff and this largely refurbished roster doesn't make sense. So I would say that they should keep it specific to Snyder. It should be a massive suspension, or, you know, if enough owners are angry enough, he has to lose the team. But I really hope that this doesn't end up hindering the football department building a winner.
Well,
and that's not to say that I don't want justice for these women. That's the number one priority.
No,
that's more important than football. My point is, I don't know if you're doing as much good as you could if the story then becomes, you know, Rivera and Del Rio and Chase Young putting out statements about being upset. Don't make this about that. You know, don't distract. Keep this with Snyder. Keep this with his culture. Keep this with the awful workplace that he has been heavily involved in allowing to fester.
Yeah, I've always had a problem with how we dole out punishment in certain cases. We just kind of take it for granted. For the sake of argument, Reggie Bush gets an illegal Escalade in 2003 or whatever, and some kid, after they find out about it in 2011, can't go to a bowl game. He had nothing to do with that, but it's kind of the way we do it. We sort of say, oh, well, you got to punish somebody, and the school feels it, but then there's a corollary. To your point, Terry McLaurin had nothing to do with that. He just was busy not harassing women for so many years in this organization, again, allegedly. So why punish them? I'm with you on that. So to me, how do you punish? Anything short of forcing a sale of the team, because that's really the punishment. And it sounds funny to give guys punishment when they'll end up with billions of dollars. But
which, again, you know, Goodell can't do, but the other owners
right,
can.
The owners could. So the only way for punishment to really actually stick for me is the symbol of what losing the team would be. And it's being kicked out of the club. That's what this is. It's a group of 32 dudes in the most private and exclusive club in the world. It's access to everything. It's the behind-the-scenes, mayors and governors and everybody kissing your behind all the time. Getting kicked out of that club is the reason a lot of them don't sell. And it's why Dan Snyder hasn't sold. He'd probably be just as happy on his second or third yacht on an island or whatever else. But you can't replace that rush of being the cool kid. You are the guy that everybody has to please all the time. And that feeling is really, really powerful. So to me, you don't vote anymore. You're not on any committee. You are out. Your voice will not be heard. We've got 31 owners and you, Dan Snyder, for however long you want to make that a thing. So if you suspend somebody for 6 months, that's cool. You're suspended for 6 months. You're still making every call from your Potomac mansion where you paid somebody from the Parks Department or had somebody fired because they wouldn't cut down trees on your estate so you could see the Potomac River. You don't get – you have no rights anymore. You're not on any committee. the competition, the rules, the this, the that, the hiring. You got no say anymore, and that's for a long time. That's what I'm doing. You don't get to come to the meetings. You can own the team, but you're in the wilderness owning the team. That's how I would do it.
Like a congressperson who can't sit on any of these committees.
Yeah.
And that's where all the juice comes from and the power, and that's where you get your time and your FaceTime on C-SPAN, and you get to do the hardball interview, and then it's goes viral on social media. You get to play the tough guy or the tough girl. Like, that's where there's value in that, right? And when you don't get to do that, I really like that, actually, because that, too, leads to when you've never been told no and you're not used to not being able to get into the club, as you're calling it, that leads to disenfranchisement and him being annoyed and frustrated and saying, well, this isn't worth it to me.
Yeah, we don't have 32 voting members anymore. We got 31, and that's for a while. I'll do that for years.
So you're saying that's not a suspension, though. In other words, the suspension means he's not around the team. He's not even allowed at the game. He's not the owner for that time. So let's say that goes for a handful of months or half a season or something, which is what I'm expecting. You're saying this, you can't have any say in things. You don't get a seat at the table. That could go for a long, long time, like years or whatever. My only rebuttal to play devil's advocate or question is, if we're talking about not penalizing the team, can't you say, like, Washington not having a voice as the only of the 32 teams that has no influence on things is still just as unfair to the coaching staff and the players as some of the things we just outlined?
I don't think it approaches not having a draft pick or salary cap space. I think not being able to produce a rule for the competition committee. Like, the Ravens just submitted a rule about an eighth official that's up in the booth. Washington won't be able to
do that for
a couple years. I do, too, by the way. Adopt it immediately.
But if they come up with something that Rivera says, we got to get this, or just to be able to,
then,
to
be a
swing vote, right?
That's
if there is a big deal to this team, whatever it is, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But,
no, but I get
let's
your
say
point.
That financially, Jason Wright and his staff come up with as far as trying to improve the experience or the stadium or whatever, or trying to get some type of thing passed for their next stadium. They have to sit it out for a few years. That could – in some way, the team's going to feel this, but it's probably better than a draft pick. It's probably better than cap.
Your point, I think, is right, and there's nothing that's victimless here. No matter what you do, there's going to be an extra person that's going to be affected. But that, to me, is further down the line. It's a very minute, finite set of scenarios that you're absolutely right. That would negatively affect the team if something came up. Neither one of us can think of a great example, but I know exactly what you mean. By the same token, for sake of argument, let's say I commit a heinous crime. God forbid, but let's say I do something awful. I got to go to jail. Well, you know who's negatively affected? My wife, my kids. That doesn't mean I don't go to jail, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, you at a certain point, you got to say, I'm sorry that there's shrapnel here, but if you've done enough wrong, we've got to be stern with this. And I get the feeling they're not going to rise to that level.
I would just like to put up as big a net as possible to catch as much of that shrapnel as possible and to protect the football outfit and some of the new key contributors from that as possible. You know, I want Dan Snyder to be inside of that net, perhaps, if he deserves to be, but not these new faces. Let's go to David and Bowie, who's on line two on Grant and Danny. What's up, David?
Hello, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, so how is Daniel Snyder any different than an exuberant fan previously working in another profession while secondarily interested in playing fantasy football, and then realizing he must hire professionals for his secondary interest to sustain success in his primary profession and secondary interest? Thank you.
What are you talking about?
I don't understand that your question at
did
all.
Did he just hang up?
Did he
that was the weirdest.
Oh, thank God.
I was going to say that was the weirdest call we've ever gotten if you hung up. Can you explain what you just said? I don't even know what you're
mean,
talking
sir?
About.
Well, perhaps, you know, you might look up the words in the dictionary and figure out, you know, what I just stated.
Hold on. No. Hold on. Don't be a jerk. We're trying to have a conversation with you. You just said a lot of words, and it was word salad, and it didn't mean a whole lot. So we're trying to figure out what exactly. Repeat what you said. We're talking about sexual harassment and what's going on with Dan Snyder. You're talking about him as an owner not succeeding.
Hold up.
In fantasy football?
The allegations were belated, first off. Okay, but in the beginning, when Daniel Snyder bought the team, no one complained. I mean, he was a fan. He was an avid fan.
Right.
Okay? He was an exuberant fan. Everybody was like, okay, let's see what happens. Right. And then he tried to play fantasy football. And then what happened? Okay, he was a gambler. And he lost.
Right.
Okay, that's what he did. And then he recovered. And then he realized he's a smart guy. You know, Daniel Snyder is a smart guy. He's not only a fan. You know, he was smart enough to realize that eventually he needed to hire professionals. And then who did he hire? Well,
Bruce Allen?
Well, no.
There is no track record of him letting those professionals do their jobs. Hopefully it'll be different this time.
Well, he made mistakes along the way. Yeah.
20 plus years of them, that's true.
Well, that's okay. I mean, he can be forgiven. I mean,
I still don't understand what this has to do with what we're talking about. So is your call just to say that
– being mean to Snyder?
Yeah, that Dan Snyder's not as bad an owner as people think? Because we're talking about something right now that is different than him being a bad owner when it comes to the team not winning. It seems like this is a call that you could have – like if we're talking about, is Dan Snyder good at running the Washington football team? And Danny and I say, no, you could call in and make this point and it would make sense. We're talking about the punishment that could come from these allegations and Beth Wilkinson's report. Is that in any way?
We're not worried about Beth because we didn't think about Beth when Daniel Snyder bought the team, okay? Daniel Snyder bought the team because, well, he believed in the team. He followed the team. He loved the team. He rooted for the team. Uh-huh. And this is what this is about. And then along the way, he thought, well, he became hubris. And then what happened was, you know, he thought that, you know, he could make all the decisions. And then he discovered that, well, he didn't make his billions, when following only a football team. You know, he made his billions from marketing. Okay, and then when he tried to dabble into his secondary interest, and then, you know, when everyone was following.
What's his secondary interest?
It means running the football
team,
right?
Football.
Fantasy football.
Yeah, that's secondary.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where does Six Flags and Johnny Rockets come in for you?
Six Flags? Well, that was, he was thinking about business, and he thought that he could make some money on that, but that didn't pan out. I mean,
it did not.
But the football team, he's been killing it, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, he's done a good job, right?
Or define that?
It sounds like, it sounds like we agree. He's done a really good job running the football team.
Recently.
Recently he's been fantastic, though. I mean, they've really turned it around.
Yeah.
Maybe, I would say, like if 32 teams were having an owner draft, like, I don't know if Danny would agree, but I think me and you would say he'd go first, right?
No, he's not going first. Now it's over the top. He's top five.
He'd go first, right, sir?
Who would go first?
Dan Snyder would go first in the owner draft.
Fantasy football.
No, I'm not. You know, we'll see what happens the next year or two, okay? Well, we have to see, but, you know.
Top five? Would he go top five?
If he wins consecutive Super Bowls, then we consider rating Daniel Snyder. At this point, what's most important is that he's learned from his mistakes.
Definitely. He has shown that, by the way, like because there's clear evidence that he learned and he does things differently now than he used to, for sure.
Well, I think the hiring of Ron Rivera and making the playoffs is enough.
But they didn't make the playoffs in 2012 or 2005 or 2007. Or 2015, and they never hired Shanahan. So, yeah, this is new, definitely. They haven't done this.
Well, yes, and recently that was the decision of Daniel Snyder. I mean, even though he said, hey, happy Thanksgiving after, Thanksgiving, the fact of the matter is that Daniel Snyder hired the right man. He researched and hired the right man to make the playoffs the next year. And that's what happened.
Happy Thanksgiving. Right. Did he say Happy Thanksgiving or Happy New Year? What did he say?
Happy Thanksgiving. I think it was in February.
Happy. All right. No, that's.
Thank you very
sense.
Much for the phone call. We
it's
got
a good phone
jump.
Call.
Sorry. No, it is. There are a lot of other things to unpack there. You can listen
honest
to us.
Honest to God, we could just rack that call. We could spend 4 hours breaking it down on Monday if we wanted to.
We could,
I didn't know where it came from.
Or you can listen to the now-defunct Red Zebra Broadcasting, which doesn't exist anymore, Snyder venture. That he learned from his mistakes, though.
The opening line that he had where he said we were too dumb and we needed a thesaurus because we didn't understand it, I still don't know what it was about. But he was arguing like a different segment from a different show about whether or not he's a good owner when we're talking about allegations that are very serious. It's a completely different thing that we're discussing. That was amazing. Sorry we're not going to do what I learned today, but I thought that was more fun.
That was fun. I had a good time.
I wanted to say, Dan, is this you? Is this you? Well, he's got a big fan out there, so that is good.
Potomac area code, maybe.
I'm Grant, saying so long. Darris and Vic behind the scenes, great job as always. Caps Hockey coming your way next. Let's talk some basketball in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.